created. And so he loves to keep us on our toes. So just when you get used to a certain way of doing things, he'll switch it up on you. Because the ultimate desire I believe the Lord has for us is that we always remain reliant upon him. Right. You know, it's like, don't get caught up in thinking you're something that you yourself have become very comfortable with and then distance yourself from the Lord. No, that's not how it works. You're always, always going to be relying upon him. All right, so that's one thing. The other thing is this. I guess you got to turn it around. I'm like, what in the world? I'm a real mechanic. Oh, he's like, what in the...
No, that's from all the bacon.
I'm gonna have to get through that because the grease is starting to settle. Now I'm starting going. So if you hear some foreign sounds, come from Kirk. How about that? It's like, oh yeah. The other thing I want you to think about too is that, you know, again, staying really open to how the Lord wants to use you, and whatever you become comfortable with today. Say, that's for today, but I need to be open to how the Lord wants me to use me tomorrow.
That's a good word.
You see what I mean? Right. So I think, again, because the Lord is all about creativity, and he likes variety. Because, you know, it's like if you're doing the same thing over and over again, what happens? You start getting a little bored, right? Oh, yeah, man. So we want to make sure we are on the edge of what the Lord is doing currently in my life. Second is this, how you process things. You have two choices. And I speak to guys all the time now. And it's like what I'm sharing with you guys today is stuff I'm sharing with everybody probably 24/7. You know, I talk to guys outside of church. I work for the Early Childhood Center. I'm working with guys that are just out of prison. Paul does it downtown in the Alliance. They're actually going to start working with them there. It's where I'm talking to guys and they're transitioning from jail into society. And they're trying to teach them father principles. Isn't that interesting? They're trying to teach her father principles and being a man. And what's interesting is here we are, the topic of our discussion for this weekend is mighty men of God. And it's like, okay, I'm always talking about this stuff. And what I share with them is this, how you make decisions, the results of your decisions follow a process. And the process is this, is that how a man feels is how he thinks is how he does. Is that right? No. But that's how he does it. See, our actions are a result of a process that gets us there. First John tells us this, right? It says that we're enticed and drawn away by the lust of our flesh. And when the lust is conceived, it brings forth what?
Sin.
Then it brings forth death. So what's happening? So as when we have negative results in our life, we're being led by our feelings. Now, a mature man does this. As a man thinks, as a man feels, as a man does. So you have to think about that. Is that, you know, look, I need to transform my thinking so I feel right and my actions will follow. You see what I mean? Because my feelings are unpredictable.
Yes.
Are they not? Yes. It's like, look, man, I can go to...
I agree with you.
All right, Phil. It's like, you and I have bad days, don't we? I don't feel like doing this. It's like, you know, because we wake up in the morning, don't we say, you guys ever feel like, I don't feel like going to the retreat. I woke up this morning like that. I don't feel like coming here. I just didn't, man. You know what I mean? I got 4 hours of sleep. Michael's cars broke down in my driveway. He's on his way home now. My son-in-law fixed it for him. But, you know, praise God for that, you know. But all I was thinking about, I got to get that guy's car fixed. I don't want to go to a retreat. So Michael goes, what are you going to do? I'm going to call Kirk. I ain't coming. Looks like you're preaching, brother. How about that? But my feelings are telling me that. But I got to think right. So we can't allow our feelings to determine who we are. And so with that being said, is that this morning, hopefully, you'll start to think differently about who you are, which will change your actions. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you something. Kirk and I'm going to play a little bit off of Kirk and what Bill said last night. They started off with this. Remember what Bill said when he first started? He was encouraged by what?
The Word of God.
No. He was encouraged by being in a room full of manly men, except for Ryan. did you say that, Bill?
No,
you didn't say Ryan, but you said, but yeah. Manly men. He liked being around manly men. He didn't want to be doing the metrosexuals. He wanted to be around manly men. Men are men. No, we ain't got no questionable characters in this room. You're all men. Nice job, man. So that's what he said. He was encouraged by that. I'm like, well, that's interesting. I thought that's an interesting to start off a message. Like, hey, he need to be very careful about what group he's speaking to, but nonetheless, that was a very good thing. I liked it, but I went, huh, I don't think I've seen too many intros like that. Then Kirk gets up and says what? He's saying that real men love Jesus. He's trying to convince us of that, right? And I'm like, what is going on there? Where'd they get that from?
T-shirt.
What? A T-shirt. But now, look, but where is the perception? Now, think about this. Where is the perception of, well, I mean, when the world thinks of Christians, now let's not go Christianese on it. Well, how does the world see Christians?
Sissies.
They do.
Yeah. Sissies.
Where'd they get that from? What? Where do they get it from?
Movies.
Ah, you're right. They get it from movies. One of the movies they get it from is Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus walking around in flip-flops. Hey, he's a wimp. You see, don't they look at that? Oh, look at him. He just cried when they nailed him to the cross. He's just a wimp. So they start looking at him as like, I mean, a beach bum. The only thing missing from him was, you know, some of the herbal medicines that people use. He's just a long-haired hippie. Well, he just loved Jesus. He just walked around. So the world gets their vision of or version of what Christians are through the media, right?
Right.
Yeah. And that's what happens. And so then they start placing that on us.
That's right.
And what's really crazy is we just take that image on. We do. We say, well, yeah, I am whippy. I got to turn the other cheek. I kind of like the idea that Nathan struggled with that guy pulling out in front of him. I'm not giving license to getting mad, but he's a man. Don't be treading in my turf, brother. I struggle with it. See, so God's got to work a whole lot out of me for me to become that hippie that Jesus was walking around on a beach like. You know what I mean? I got to work that. But here's the thing, though. The world gets their image of what Christians are based on the media, based on a lot of times our behavior. So here's what happens is I want you guys to think about this. How do people learn? 80% of what people learn from is what they see.
That's good.
The other 20% is what they hear and write. What do we focus on? We focus on what we hear and write. We don't focus a lot on about what we are. Do you know you're always preaching?
Yeah, that's right.
You're always preaching. And I know Romans says this, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I'm not diminishing the fact that we need to preach and proclaim the gospel. But you're preaching and proclaiming the gospel 24/7 when you take on the name of Jesus.
That's right.
You guys understand that?
Right.
Because people are watching you. They're watching you, and as a result of that, they're learning what Christians are based upon how you act.
Right.
Now, what even goes even to that one, making mighty men of God, or thinking of men of God, how do people determine what a man is? What do you guys suggest? How do you determine what a man is? Don't you give me no Christianese.
Father
would be one. What if you don't have a father? Everybody has a father, but I'm talking about father in the home.
Maybe the peer group.
Peer group? Yeah. What else?
Work ethic.
That's a characteristic of a father, but true. But you're learning that from your dad. How do you determine what a man is?
A role model. TV's and movies, but people tell you this.
That's exactly right. There again, media determines a lot about who we think a man is. Especially coming from my background, when I grew up, like I shared with you guys before, is that, and this is where I can connect with some of these guys I'm talking to. My mom divorced my dad when I was 3 years old. 2 or 3 years old. I don't remember my dad. I don't have any memory of who he is. If you showed me a picture, I wouldn't know who he is. My mom remarried, and then my stepdad that came into the picture was an abuser, and I was the focus of his abuse. He'd get drunk and beat me. I'm learning this is what a man is. So then when he died when I was 15 years old, what happened to me at that point was is that my mom remarries, and now we're up here in Ohio, and it sucks. Especially this winter. Come on, man. It's like, you're killing me. I was actually in my driveway going, why did my mom do this? Why? I could be in sunny Florida. But I'm here because the Lord brought me here. You see? But see, I didn't have a whole lot of tangible role models in my life that were godly men. In fact, I had none. So what made me, or what gave me my idea of what a man was my baseball coaches and guys I would periodically come in contact throughout my life that I esteemed and I thought highly of. And some of those guys were Pete Rose. Anybody know who he was? Clint Eastwood. Oh, don't mess with that man. Oh, yes. You know something's going to happen when somebody mess with his family. Had a little cigar. I love that. Oh, yeah. I still remember one movie where he said, boy, dying ain't much of a living. I like that kind of stuff. These guys, oh, yeah. Then, of course, as Paul knows, some of my surrogate fathers were Curly, Larry, and Moe. Love those guys, man. And then what happened was is that what happened is I started to emulate these guys in my life. I imitated them. That's what a man is. As a man, you're going to imitate what you think what a man should be, right? Because that's what you learn. 80% of what you're learning is what you're seeing. And if that's what a man is, that's what I want to be. See, so what happens, though, is this. Is that in our life, as we're navigating along, one of the things that takes place is that it's interesting that that perspective of learning transfers over into Christianity. And I want you to remember this. What you place your eyes upon, what you gaze upon, that is what you become. So you're thinking to yourself, oh, look here, I want to be, how many of you guys want to be a mighty man of God?
Amen. Yeah.
Well, I kind of want to be one. But I kind of think about it goes the other way. It's like, you know, I think it's like that God uses men in a mighty way.
Yeah.
Good. Because really, if we think about it, in the grand scheme of things, there's only one mighty man of God. And the rest of us, Kirk has already let us know that. You guys understand that, man. Look, let's be real about it. If you've thought highly of yourself before this weekend, understand, you are a maggot with a long way to go, brother. I was feeling pretty good about it last time. I went, wow. So do we need some emotional help? Because it's like, wow. It's like, okay, so understand that, though, that we all, when we're thinking, we have him as our goal. And we have him as saying, look, Lord, listen, I realize that the position that I'm starting from, I do know I got a long way to go. And I do know that, and the process of that, you know, I want to be more like him so that as a result of that, I become more of a man that I'm supposed to be as opposed to what I thought I was supposed to be. See, I used to think a man was a man who takes no gruff from anyone. If you got a score to settle, we'll go ahead and settle it and then don't ever come back into my space again. That's what I used to feel because that's what Clint taught me. He did. I didn't smoke, but I know one thing. I like that cigar, and I like the end result. You don't mess with that man. Think twice about messing with his family. But you see what I mean? So again, we need to think about that in our life. Men, a lot of times, as a whole, in the Christian community, struggle. Now, I want to make sure we understand this. Again, just confirming what Kirk said. We're always going to struggle. But I'm not saying, I don't want to set you up for defeat. Because I think in this life, we'll always battle our flesh. But in Christ, we're more than victorious. Amen. We're overcomers, right?
Yeah.
So I want you to know that. But I think as a whole, sometimes men will struggle because of the image that they have placed in their mind of who they are versus who they really are. And then their actions start to follow. You guys understand that? Mm-hmm. Their thinking is whacked out. Our thinking is whacked out. So what I want you to think, there's three questions that always, always permeate every culture that you're involved with or every system that you're involved in, as far as I'm concerned anyway. The three things are this, is that the guys will always ask me, who am I? And then the second question is this, and you guys have all heard this before, again, nothing new under the sun. The next question that comes from that is that, you know, where am I going? And the third question is this, what is my purpose? I was driving with a young lady. This is I do driving instructing, and one of the things that happened to me whenever this happened a few weeks ago, and she was a let's just say this, worldly in her thinking. And I don't mean like, you know, like her character was good, but as far as, you know, the world had formed her thinking and how to process things. And so we're talking about some issues of life that are going on. And she goes, you tell me, what is your purpose? I said, well, my purpose is connected to my Creator. And I said, I know you don't believe that way, but I just want you to bear with me for just a minute. See, I was created. I'm not a process of evolution, and my great-great-grandfather's not a monkey. Okay? God created me. So I got one purpose, to glorify Him. And she got real quiet. I'm kind of a simple guy, and we simplify the process. It's like, look here, man, I glorify the one that created me. How about that? And she goes, well, how do you do that? I said, be like Him. Be like Mike. I'm going to be like Jesus. You know, you see what I mean? It's like, so I want you guys to think about these things, those three questions. I want to try to answer those three. So the first one is this, who am I? And I want you to think about this as you navigate through. First and foremost, I want to read this quote from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis says this, the more we let God take us over, the more truly ourselves we become because He made us. Isn't that something? So everything connects to Jesus no matter what we're doing. Everything does. So everything is by Him, through Him, and for Him. So even though I was created in the situation where my scenario lies to be, you know, my neighborhood, it's very dark and dim, God still created me. You see that? It took me a long while to figure out my point of origin. But nonetheless, I would read to you in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Now, I want you to think about this as men, because when you identify, let's just say this, as when Kirk was up here yesterday and whenever he was sharing his testimony, he said this. He said that, obviously, a lot of things he said, I'm going to just pull this one out, though. And I'm not going to say, again, I don't want to diminish it, but understand that's what you do, not who you are. He said, I'm a sinner. That's what you do. That's not who you are.
Right.
You guys understand that?
Yep.
So we need to separate that. You know, what we do is not who we are. Because if you start identifying yourself with what you do, then that's what you become. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yep.
No, man. I had a person in my house. They told me the same thing. I said, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. Are you born again? Well, yeah. I said, so sinning has ceased in your life. Not 1 John talking about the practice of sin has ceased in your life. Jesus broke that cycle through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the blood. Is that right?
Right?
Hey, look here, man. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I'm a slave to righteousness. I could preach on that for a while. I'm trying to remain focused on this particular thing. Becoming a man of God. Staying focused on that, all right? All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says this. Then God said, let us make man in whose image? Our image, right, there you go. It's an image, visual. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. See that? There's a model that he's doing right there. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Two things stick out in that verse. Image of God. We're created in the image of God. Everybody in this room has been created in the image of God. All right? No aliens? Let's make sure we don't have any. Some of you might look like some, according to Kirk. But the rest of us, we're made in the image of God. You see what I mean? So you can look at each other and say, you know what? That's why Paul talks about this. Why would you make fun of that person who is created in the image of God? And you're really, what you're doing is you're making fun of God. So if I sit there and make fun of Caleb, I'm going, I'm making fun of God who made him. You see that?
Yeah.
There's a whole big, that's another teaching, by the way. Right. And the other thing is this, is that what happens is that he also says that he gives man dominion over everything.
Right.
Now, I want you guys to think about that just for a minute, because what dominion means in the Greek, it means this, to have dominion or prevail against. Prevail against, what's that mean?
Win.
Yeah. You're not defeated. You win. I like that. Victorious. Prevail against. I created man to be losers.
No.
Well, how many of us go, I can't stop this, whatever it may be in your life? Well, I can't stop looking at that nasty pictures of women. Oh, you're not prevailing against that, I see. Why? You see, what, why? Because of feelings. I don't mean to, again, I don't want to diminish struggle. But I'm understanding that, look, when I understand who I am, then I have victory over the struggle.
Right.
In Jesus. Mm-hmm. Make sense, you guys? Mm-hmm. I got to be able to do that. So when he says, now, the two things. So he goes on, a continuation of that definition. It says, to reign. What does that sound like?
King.
King. Huh. So he gave man authority over everything. So he created him in his image to be agents of God here on this earth. Representatives of Him on this earth. Now we know what happened in the Garden of Eden, right? We know that the fall of man took place in the Garden of Eden. But I want to share something with you that also took place in the Garden of Eden. Not only did man fall and also his relationship with God had been separated, something else actually took place. He surrendered his identity. His identity was what? You guys just read, he was made in the image of God. He didn't surrender that, because it'll always be that. But what did he surrender his role as king? Now he became a victim and not victorious. See, when we're a victim, what happens? Our circumstances determine our behavior. Do you guys understand that? So whatever it may be. So like when what happened yesterday with Nathan, when Nathan was talking about the driver, what happens when he is not ruled by God? His behavior will respond to the circumstance. I will give that guy the one finger salute and say, oh yeah, by the way, Jesus loves you. To justify my behavior, right? Because you're a victim of the circumstances. I can't help it. It's the way it is. He crossed into my path. I'm going to respond a certain way. However, whenever we were first created, we were not victims of our circumstances. We were meant to reign.
Good. Amen.
Does it make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
So what happened was man's identity was stolen. And what was given to him, Satan took. See, he didn't let all that stuff out whenever he was saying, you need to eat of that fruit. It's good for your eyes. You become like God. He. He didn't know there were so many other things that took place. It wasn't just a simple act of disobedience. There was so much more to it. That's what sin is anyway. Sin has so many tangibles to it. So what happens is, I'm going to read this to you so that you guys don't think, that, well, what kind of garbage is Gary preaching to us? I try to maintain as close to the Bible as I can. So, Luke chapter 4, verse 6. I want to read this to you. And he says this now. This is Satan tempting Jesus. Because, again, in order to find out who you are, really, really find out who you are. What you kicking me, man? To find out who you really are, we really have to find out, get to know Jesus, don't we? The more I know him, just as C.S. Lewis talks about, the better I know myself. It's just part of that process. And so here, Luke chapter 4, verse 6, says, and now the Satan again is tempting Jesus, said this, and the devil said to him, all this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whosoever I will give, I give it. Where do you get that? Where do you get the power? The Amplified says this, it's been turned over to me. Where did it get turned over to him? In the garden. You see that? He is now the ruler of this realm. Is that true? Satan is the ruler of this earth, but we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who's above that, right? Now, so you think about that. So what happens is this, and that's one of the things that really, really I struggle with, because where your greatest hurt is, that's where your greatest ministry will be. And in my life, when I was growing up, the vacuum that was there as a result of no male role model, it's a passion for me to see guys saying, look, you need to walk in your identity in Christ. You need to walk as Christ designed you to walk. And he designed you to walk as being kings, being a royal priesthood, a chosen generation who is victorious in this life and not a victim in this life. Make sense, you guys? I say, so for me, when I see guys being victims of their circumstances, it bothers me. Not that I'm just like anybody else. I'm a victim of my circumstances at times. But I don't have to stay there in Christ. You guys with me?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just getting warmed up here. That was my intro. How about that? So, but what happens is this. We understand that. We understand the fact that our identity has been stolen. So what did Jesus come for? To seek and to save the lost. Absolutely. To restore man's relationship to the Father. Absolutely. But also to restore your role and identity here on this earth. You're going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, how are you? I know, man. It's like, look, Colossians chapter 2 says this. You guys there? You want to turn there just to make sure I'm reading the right Bible?
Yeah.
All right, man. Okay. I'll let you guys get there. Because, so, you know, again, some of this stuff, again, I think, again, our guys, they hear me talk about this all the time. I talk about this quite often with a lot of people. The reality of it is that for me personally, I need to understand this. I need to understand who I am so that I can have victory in this life. I really do. I need to understand this more and more. I love Jesus, man. I love Jesus in the fact that there's so many things about him that I didn't know from the beginning. I had no idea when I first got saved what I was in for. You know, when I got saved, it came down to this. I just wanted to go to heaven. You guys understand that? I didn't want to go to hell. The Lord was giving me visions of hell, and I didn't want to go there. I just didn't. I mean, I tried to convince myself I did. I tried to tell myself, like everybody else, said, that's where all your friends are going to be. I said, man, it's okay, man. But I said, but it's hot. It's going to be really bad. Won't be able to. I can't do that, man. It's like, after a while, I started to understand what hell was. I said, I don't think we'll be happy down there. It's like, just saying. So when I got saved, I wanted to go to heaven.
Right, sure.
I didn't know that the Lord was going this. Oh, no, there's a lot more to it there, Phil. Guess what, baby? That's when the process begins. I'm going to rub out what has been rubbed in. It's like, I love that. I love it. Well, this is my world. You guys have to be a part of it just for a minute. About 3 months after I got saved, I think the Lord spoke to me the first words. He said, buckle up, Spanky. We're going for a ride. Whoa, baby. And all of a sudden, man, it's like, wow, man, the Lord started twisting and turning, man, in my life. And I'm going, oh, I didn't sign up for that. Look, man, I just want to go to heaven. I remember when Rayo gave me a word. He said, the Lord said, you remember this, Rayo, when you gave me this, said, the storm's coming? And guess what? If you're not praying, you ain't going to make it. I remember I went right into prayer right after that. And I said, appreciate the word. When Rayo called me, he was crying. I was freaking. Because Rayo don't cry. He cries once in a while, but he's like, when he called me, it was like, I was going, oh, no. He said, I said, you had the wrong number. Because here's the thing, though, man. What's really bad, he goes, the Lord told me something. I went, oh, no. This can't be good if he's crying, man. It's like, oh, no, man. It's like, and then what he said was, it wasn't good. And then what happened? I went into prayer and I started telling the Lord. I said, Lord, I just want to go to heaven. I started telling, just leave me alone. And the Lord said, no, you don't. The Lord told me that. He said, no, you don't. Who are you trying to kid? Because one of the things that I, whenever I read the Bible, when Bill talks about that and you guys are talking about that, when I read the Bible, I want to experience what those guys experienced. When Paul walked on this earth, he said, better to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But for your sakes, I'm hanging around. Say, Paul was so in love with Jesus and so connected to him that he wanted to go be with him. Amen. However, he understood he had a purpose to fulfill and he was a slave to it, as Kirk was talking about. Is that right? Yeah. That's exactly right. So I'm reading that going, man, Lord, I want that kind of relationship that you gave to those guys. So I'm thinking that. I didn't realize it came with a price. I did not realize that. I didn't realize that there is a lot of me that has to be removed for me to have that kind of relationship with Jesus that these men have. There's a whole lot more of me left. But with each and every removal, a greater understanding of who he is increases in my life. Does it make sense to you guys? Man, it's good stuff for me. So, again, bear with me because sometimes I'm all right with just myself in the room. But he says this in Colossians that you guys understand that. I talk to myself. Bill, we talk to ourselves, don't we? Look, no. Well, look here, man. Isn't that what prayer is, man? I hate praying in the public. Ask Brad and ask Mike back there. I like praying by myself because then that way I'm the only one that knows I'm nuts. So, anyway, I can't even look around. But, you know, but I love praying by myself, man. Honestly, I do. And it's like one of those things. And so, again, I feel sometimes that you guys are infringing upon my time. So if you are so inclined to do so, you want to leave, you go right ahead. It's me and Jesus right now, man. The Colossians chapter 2, because I love who Jesus is and who he's showing me to be. He's not some hippie walking around in flip-flops. He is aggressive with his love for us. He is passionate. He is a manly man. Understand that. He is a manly man. He is not some wimp that is tossed to and fro with his circumstances. He has a purpose. Even on the cross, he intentionally put himself through that. It wasn't somebody nailed him there. He nailed himself there for you and I. You see that? That's a manly man who suffered like that, who didn't whimper and go, whoa, I hurt, Lord. Oh, Father, please. No. He took it like a man. I don't know if you guys remember that. You guys have been keeping up with today's current circumstances, but when those men got beheaded in Syria, did you guys hear the story about this?
Yeah.
They're praising Jesus while they got their heads beheaded.
That's
manly men. Those guys are, hey, one guy's, why he's, the last words that come out of his mouth is Jehovah. That is, to me, a manly man.
Amen.
See, they were reflecting their man, Jesus. Because that's how he went to the cross. You guys understand that? That's a whole different picture what TV shows you or the media shows you, right? Again, I'm not talking about aggressive, violent people who are taking it out on people. I'm talking about people who are passionate about their maker and their creator. And you can do whatever you want to do with me in my life. I love reading old stories about men who were persecuted in times past. And I remember this one story about where this old man was taken out into the woods and these two guys are going to kill him. This is in Tennessee. They're going to kill him. And they're going to say, if you don't do this, we're going to kill you. And that guy said, what are you doing? Threaten me with heaven. Do you know the guys walked away from him? What's the use there, man? Because the guy was like, well, what are you doing, man? Go ahead. Do what you got to do, brother. I'm out of here in a good way. You see what I mean? It's like, man, it kind of takes a sting out of that threat. It's like, what? Okay, yeah, pretty much death no longer has a hold on you because you understand that my man defeated death.
Amen.
He took the keys of death and hell.
Amen.
And he said, look here, Gary, hang with me, brother. Even though you may have to shed that nasty old body you got, you're going to be with me because I already took care of that. That's the last victory that we'll have.
Yeah.
Is that something?
Yes.
Man, it's like, man, that's something we need to have encouragement over. But it says this in Colossians chapter 2. I've been saying this for the last, 15 minutes? Is anybody after me? It's like, oh, yeah. Nathan, go ahead and skip this stuff off this one. I don't know what it is, whatever it is. What's going on, man? You're killing me, Paul. All right, man. All right, here we go. All right. chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of flesh, and that's some, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. See that? And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now look at this next part. Having disarmed principalities and powers.
Yeah.
See that? Yeah. Now look here, Mr. Satan. I don't want to touch one of you guys thinking that. So. I'll take that back from you. You're now a toothless lion. You have been disarmed. You have no power over my people.
That's good.
You see that?
Yeah.
He's got no power over you. He's got the power of suggestion only. Because Jesus took it from him. See, we don't see all that on the cross. We just see him dying on the cross and being buried and then the third day resurrected. There's work being done on the cross.
Amen. That's good. That's good.
That's because he's a manly man. You guys understand that? Look, I know what my purpose is. He came here with that purpose. He came here with the purpose to die for you and I and to take back what has been stolen. He came to give you life and life more abundant, did he not? But the Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Right? He's going to make things right if we abide ourselves in him. You want to be a manly man? Hide in Christ. Walk in the shoes that have been laid out for us, and then we become victorious. And more than victorious, but overcomers. Is that true?
Right.
Rise up, man, because again, here's the reality of it. This is this. The world needs to see overcomers, not victims.
Right.
See, what happens when they start seeing Christians overcoming, well, I'm this and or I'm that, I'm this and I'm that. It's like, no. I am bought by the blood of Christ and I'm walking in victory in my life. Yes, I was subjected to those things at one time in my life, but no longer because Jesus has delivered me.
Amen.
That's what the world stands up and starts taking notice to. I said, whoa. And you used to do drugs? Sure. You used to do that? Yes. I was caught up in all these things that everybody else is caught up in. But the reality of it is, the Lord has delivered me from that. And he continues to deliver me from things in my life. Look at that. And he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Part of our restoration is our identity as men, rulers and kings. How many of you guys feel like you're rulers and kings? Kirk?
I feel like
yeah. All right.
rulers and kings walk like that. You wait. Now listen. If you're hey, look, I'm gonna bust out a moonwalk in a minute. So I'm gonna tell you right now. Understand this is that no. If I'm a ruler and a king, how do I walk? I don't mean like a style, but how do I walk in esteem?
Confident.
Whoa! There you go. Instead of hang down your head, Tom. Duly hang down your head and cry. No. Not pride. There's a difference between pride and confidence.
There you go.
You guys understand that?
Yes.
Your confidence is in
Christ.
You see that? It's like, look here, man. My confidence is in Christ, who Christ says I am, not who you think I am. Not whether you approve of me or not. Doesn't matter. I still struggle with that. When I'm putting this message together, let me tell you something, and I'll share this, and I hope not to embarrass them. But one of the things that, man, Rayo and Bill have always intimidated, always have intimidated me.
That's good.
First thing Bill says, yes, I got him, baby. No, thank you. No, because you know why? Because I always esteemed, now listen, I always esteemed these guys. Regardless of what we might have been going through in my life, I always esteemed them. And I would put messages together in hopes that they would like it. That makes sense, you guys? Well, Ray's back there going, oh, you are sick, dude. He's back there shaking his head, man. But I would, man, because why? Because of my background. So even today, whenever I'm preaching in front of you guys, it does cross my mind now and then.
It's good, Jerry. It's good.
It does. But you know what I do? I take every thought captive. I bring it into subjection to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I do that, and I say, you know what? Whether they like it or not, I am what I am. You guys understand that?
Good.
So I have to fight that. I have to fight whether they like it or not. You know what? This is what the Lord has placed on my heart. And I have to share it with you. And my desire is this, that when I share it with you, it encourages you to rise up and walk in your identity that God has established in you. Because again, I'm telling you now, again, there's two things take place here now. He reestablishes your identity. Then he goes, Phil, now I'm going to shape you into it. There's where it gets touchy. Because, see, he was a victim before. Not saying, now, again, I'm just using you.
Yeah.
Phil, you're right. He's going, yeah, all right, baby. Yeah. So, but the Lord said, no, God, Phil, I need to teach you to walk as royalty.
That's good.
So This is going to require some in stuff deep inside, wrenching in there, digging it out. I wish we had actually surgical equipment right now. We could do this. I kind of like it, man. but you guys understand that? Well, that's what it does. The Lord's doing that with the Holy Spirit. He came to lead, guide, and correct, right? So he's placing the Holy Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit is never, he's never one of those guys that kind of like, I'm with you, Gary. Can't wait till you get to heaven. Oh, no, man. The Holy Spirit's got, he's like, oh, yeah, we got another one to work with. All right, we're going in there. And we're going to start digging stuff out that don't belong, that's not of God. See, we think the Holy Spirit is a goosebump machine. Especially charismatics, don't we? Like, hey, man. He's just a cool dude, baby. Don't we think that, man? It's like, man, I want to go where the Holy Spirit's going, man. But I learned a long time ago, watch yourself now. The Holy Spirit, he's got in his back pocket a knife. So just like you're going, he's going, oh, what happened, man? You look down at your chest, man, you got, I got a big hole there, man. What happened, man? He's going to work. You guys understand that? He's going to work, man. And you look around and say, what was that? Understand that now. So the next time you guys are in a worship service and it's all good, understand the Holy Spirit's got a knife. He's softening you up. He's softening it up, and he's gonna not in your back, in your front. Satan stabbed you in the back. Satan stabbed you in the back. But the Holy Spirit, he's doing things to help us.
He looks you in the eye when he does it.
He does, man. He goes, how you like me now? And every time it happens, I go, but I just want to go to heaven. I just want to go to heaven. Come on, baby.
Hey, Gary, hold on. We need some air up here.
Okay, all right. This is going to sound interesting on this mic. Where does this go to? No. That's why you guys, we're not taping nothing at home, baby. It's like, no, baby, I'm not going to tape nothing, man. It's like, I'm not being held accountable. But understand what I'm talking about here now? I'm talking about, where is he taking you? See, what happens is he establishes in you your identity. Or we start to learn, let's just say this, our identity. When we come to know Christ, we start reading the Bible, which is really kind of crazy. We start reading the Bible, and then we start seeing the Bible says a whole lot more things about us that the world does not say. You start reading about these things. You're a saint. What? No, I like calling myself a sinner. No, God calls you a saint. I'm a royal priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this. We're a royal priesthood, a holy generation. So you start reading that about the Bible, and go, what in the world is that? That's a whole different identity that I have been raised with. I was always raised with the idea that you're nothing. You're never going to amount to anything. You're a failure. In fact, you're going to jail. That's the stuff I was raised with. Now I come to know Jesus, and Jesus says, no, you're a saint. You have been redeemed. You're a royal priesthood. Well, how in the world does that act? How do you act like that? Romans chapter 8, verse 29. I think I'm almost done. But I don't know. You guys already said nobody's coming after me, so it doesn't matter. Lunch is how long? We got another hour. But I want you to think about this. I mean, just let it resonate in your heart, man. Really, honestly. I want you to think about this. Because we need to be, the better prepared you are, the more confident you become.
Right, yes.
I say, look here, man, look, I'm not playing no games. I understand this is going to be a tough road to hoe. Many are called, a few chosen. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Very few find it. I want to be a part of those few.
That's good.
You see that? I know Jesus is conforming and he's shaping a bride that's ready and prepared for him to return. I want to be a part of that. That's not the laid-back Leisure City type guys. It's the guys who are taking the kingdom of heaven by force.
That's good.
You see that? The violent take it. I'm going to be a part of those guys. That's what men are, by the way. Men are made to be warriors. I'm struggling because God's trying to build in you a warrior spirit. Just like that butterfly yesterday that Nathan talked about. Don't let somebody come along and clip the thing so you can get out and be some kind of cripple the rest of your life. God wants you to be a warrior in Him. So the struggle is good for us. How about that for a motivational speech? That kind of counters American Christianity, doesn't it? We're out of here when things get going tough. End times eschatology right there. Just threw that in there. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says this. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the
likeness image.
Where did we just hear that?
Genesis.
About an hour ago. See that? The image of his son. What? We were created in his image. Now we're being conformed into his image. You see that?
Yep.
You see the break in that? The distorted image is now going to be restored with the proper image of his son.
That's good. Hallelujah.
You guys understanding that?
Amen.
It's like, look here, man. It's like, man, you're going to reflect him. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. See that? So where is he taking me? He's taking you and shaping you into the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ.
All right. Amen.
I kind of want him to say, I'm taking you back to Florida, Gary. No, man, he might be taking, that's a destination in this world. But in the spiritual realm, he has taken me as an individual. He's called me and he said, look, Gary, you're a royal priesthood. You have been destined to reign in Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to shape you into that calling. And that calling is the character of my son, Jesus Christ. You're going to have to get to know him. You see that? You're going to have to spend some time with him. You're going to have to be intimate with my son, Jesus Christ. Not just get saved, brother. You need to get to know him. Well, how do I get to know him? The spiritual disciplines. You don't drive down to Walmart and find him. Well, you could. But the reality of it is, I need to start giving myself the time into prayer, in time into reading the Word. I need to start worshiping God. I need to set myself apart from everything else and spend isolated time with my Maker and my Creator. Making sense, you guys?
It's good, yeah.
The Bible says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, verse 2. It says this, do not be what? Conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to read that whole thing because it's very important for us when we read this, because it's really important to get the back part of that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. So as I'm having my mind transformed, as my life is being transformed, I'm understanding the will of God for my life. Make sense, you guys? Because again, I'm here to glorify the Father. And I love, this is one of my favorite scriptures, guys. You got to stay with me on this one. Fellas, over in the metal seats, we are of a kindred spirit, because I had to sit over here yesterday, and I'm telling you, my butt was frozen. Are you guys cold?
A little bit.
You want to stand up for Jesus right now? those metal chairs, man, I'm telling you, man, well, I thought I might have a little frostbite, you know where. You know, it's like, oh baby, man. So, woo, man, it got cold, man. Every time somebody opened the door, I went, woo. So I'm understanding. So listen, just bear with me now. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. This is a favorite passage of mine, because in today's culture, we are really caught up in the intellectual gospel. You guys know that?
Sure.
It's an intellectual gospel. I can get really passionate about that, because I believe, in my mind, it's shortchanging the kingdom of God. Amen. It really is. When I have to rely upon my mind, oh boy. Again, God takes... I know, man. God takes the foolish things and confounds the wise, does He not?
No.
And I'm that man. Look, man, I understand my limitations. A man must know his limitations. And I understand, I'm not the most intelligent guy in the world, but the reality of it is this: the kingdom of God is beyond your mind and your intellect.
Amen.
God uses everybody. That's what the Holy Spirit does and the power of God does. He equals the playing field. He'll use anybody, any way that He chooses to do so, and it's the power of God that does it, not you in your own ability. Does that make sense to you? And I love that. So look, hey, you could pick anybody in your life, Ray or Bill. You could take them and say, man, God really uses them in a big way. He'll use you in a big way. Just make yourself available.
Amen.
Understand this. And say, look, you know what? He can do all things through man. Because He's the one that created you. All right, man. So again, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. I'm almost like preaching in all different directions. But is this making sense, you guys?
Yeah.
Because understanding this, my identity, I'm a king in the kingdom of God. And that He's shaping me and molded me into the likeness of His Son. That transcends intellectual gospel. Verse 17. This is Paul. I can see what Paul does sometimes. Not Paul Dykhorn. But the Apostle Paul. When he looks at these things and when he's preaching these things, he's not preaching these things from an intellectual thing. He says, Caleb, I hope you get this. It's really, you know, not a big deal to me, but I hope that you understand the love of Jesus. I could see Paul preaching it not like that. But I could see Paul preaching it from the gut. Going, man, guys, can you not understand how much He loves you? Man, can you not understand, man, He is awesome. He took me, who was a persecutor of the church, and He set my feet upon a solid rock and gave me purpose to where now He's using me to expand the kingdom of God. Can you believe that? A murderer now becomes an instrument of the Most High God. He who has been forgiven much, loves much.
Amen.
Look at Ephesians chapter 3. It says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the... Who? All the what?
Saints.
Who are those? Who are those people? Is exactly... You should understand. A little bit. See there? I have a hard time saying that. No, hey, man, say it. I am a saint of God. You don't have to have the Catholic Church give you sainthood. You are a saint of God. What makes you a saint of God? The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Not your own actions. You're going to stand before the Father in judgment, not in your own righteousness, but in His.
Thank God.
So let me operate like that here on this earth. It says this now. Go ahead. It goes on and says this. What is the width, the length, and depth, and height to know the love of Christ, and that which passes what?
Knowledge.
Here we go. That you may be filled with the fullness of God. I love what the Amplified says in verse 19. Let me read this to you. That you may really come to know, practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ. That's what I love about what Bill preached yesterday. I don't want to live my life based on Bill's stories.
Right.
You guys understand that? That's exactly right. Do it yourself. Just do it. As Nike says. Look, I remember Bill, some of his stories, some of the stories I've said of saints gone by, I love their stories. But I get tired of them. I want you to get tired of mine.
Right.
Honestly, you need to jump in there so that you begin to experience the name and blood of Jesus Christ in your own life. You begin to experience it, and then because of that, the joy of the Lord begins to rise up in your life. Man, the Lord is good all the time. I don't have to rely upon those stories. Even I don't have to rely upon the stories in the Bible because I'm living it. How about that? Because didn't Jesus say this, you'll do greater works?
Yes.
Did he not say that?
He did.
That's what I thought. Just seeing. I thought I might have been outside the realms of Scripture right there for just a minute. But nonetheless, though, you guys understand? That's what I'm talking about. I want to bankrupt the kingdom of God here on this earth. You guys look at me, what the heck was that? I want to bankrupt it, man. I want to fully realize what God has created me for. I don't want to leave anything on the table. Because everything that we leave on the table when we stand before the Father, you know we're going to be going, what was I thinking? Is it true? What was I thinking? What is it that would have held me back? My pride? Come on. Who do you think you are in the first place? You got a higher, you got a higher evaluation of who you think you are. Again, because Kirk will tell you.
Yeah.
All right, baby. All right, now. So this, now listen, going back to this, through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses more knowledge without experience. So whenever what happened was one of the things that whenever that word was given to me by Rayo, one of the things I feared most of that was the struggle that may incur. But what I really struggled was, he said, that you may not make it. That freaked me out. And I said, Lord, I don't want to come this far and fall short.
That's good.
So it propelled me into prayer deeper than I've ever been before in my life. And what I discovered in prayer was Jesus.
That's good.
And then he became much more valuable to me than any circumstance that could present itself.
Amen.
I'm telling you guys, I know I'm having a hard time articulating that because in my mind I see exactly what took place. You guys ever think that? I know what he did to me. I began to be like this in my life. It's like, I got to have prayer. I got to have it because if I don't have it, I'm going to die. Because I know that in prayer, not prayer because, hey, look, it's a great thing to do, but who met me in prayer.
Yeah.
He didn't deliver me from the circumstances. He walked through them with me. I wanted deliverance. But he said, no, no, Gary, remember now. Romans 8:29. I know this is hurting, but hang in there with me. You're going to be better for it when this is all said and done. See, we all want relief, don't we? Because we lose sight of where he's taking us. Where he's taking you is to conform you in the likeness of the Son, which means you're going to have to get crucified. But didn't I get crucified with baptism? See, aren't we looking for easy answers? No, God's about making a man. I love that about him, because he sees you for what he has created you to be, and he's going, Jackson, you're just a young guy, man. I'm looking. Look, he's already cringing. He's like, "What are you gonna do to me?" He's like, "You got to answer." I like that. I like that. I kind of know what you mean by that bit of intimidation there, Bill. I like that. Like, I just walked over to Jackson. Jackson's going, "No, baby. It don't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter where we're at in our journey. The Lord is about the same thing with all of us."
Right.
Look, man. Timothy was a young man, was he not?
Yeah.
And Paul said, hey, man, don't worry about being young, brother. Walk in what you know to walk in, paraphrasing. You've been created by the maker of the universe and walk in those things that have been established in your life. And don't let your youth be a hindrance to you. See that?
That's right.
I love that, man. One of the young guys get up here and, man, it's like they've been given to the world like Nathan. I love that. I love the whole process of God developing guys. I like that. Men need to be established in God's kingdom that the world will know that God doesn't have a bunch of sissies in his kingdom.
Amen.
Isn't it true?
Amen.
How do we do these things? Well, Matthew 6:33 says this. When did I start?
Long time ago.
See, was like last year, didn't it? Comma. It's like last year. I was like, look, man, what? Oh man. Just when I start feeling good about myself, you know, like kick in the head. It's like, what is going on, man? But understand though that whenever I'm looking at these things, hey, man, Lord, come on, man, how do I do these things? How do I do these? How do I continue through the process? Here's what I have to do. Matthew 6:33. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness, and all these other things be added unto you." I got to make him a priority. And what's already been established in every aspect of my life, and that's a whole other teaching for another day, but the reality of it is I make Jesus my priority. Seek first the kingdom of God. I wake up in the morning, seek first the kingdom of God. When I go to bed at night, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When I write out my check for tithe and offerings, as Bill was talking about, seek first the kingdom of God with my money, or with his money. Guys, understanding that? Seek first the kingdom of God when I think about my children. Seek first the kingdom of God in everything that I do, every decision that I make. Whenever somebody cuts me off, seek first the kingdom of God and don't give them one finger salute. Guys, understand that? Because when I establish that priority, here's what I'm doing. When I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, I'm establishing a goal, a vision, a direction that my whole life centers around. When I make God a priority, you begin to be conformed into his likeness. When he is secondary and third in your life, guess what happens? That from which you make a priority is what you're becoming. Finally, out of this whole thing, what's my purpose? Well, that's easy. Don't confuse purpose with function. Function is birthed out of your purpose. See, we're all saying, "What God? What? How God? How is God going to use me?" That's your function. But what is your purpose? Go back to Genesis. Think about it for a minute. You were made in the image of God, and so being made in the image of God, what do you guys think your purpose would be?
Reflect His image and rule and reign.
Phil, that wrenching in your chest has put you to the front of the class. And that's something that's like, look here, man, it's simple. The reality of it is that we are put on this earth to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. That's your purpose. Is that complex? It's deeper than what it appears to be, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Because I can only glorify Him in Him. You guys understand that? And what happens here is this. The final verse here is this. In John chapter 15, verse 8. It says this. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you would be my disciples." In that particular passage, Jesus is talking about Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. The fruit of the Spirit. See, so as I abide in Christ and I allow Him to cultivate in me, how many of you guys can make fruit? I thought David about raised his hand. Then he's like, he said, "I'm just kidding, baby." You cannot produce fruit. How many trees abide by themselves can make fruit? They can't. Fruit is cultivated by the Holy Spirit. So when I'm in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is being developed in my life, the fruit being singular. Because I know I hear people all the time tell, and you guys know this, you've been a Christian for how long, or any length of time, what's the one thing everybody tells you not to pray for?
Patience.
Yeah, guess what? It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience. You get patience, you get the rest. You can't compartmentalize the fruit. I'll take love, joy, peace. I skip patience. I go right over to the guidance. You can't, man. It all comes together. The Holy Spirit is not a piece of pie that you get to choose which piece you get. You understand that? You're getting a total package. So whenever the Holy Spirit works in you, guess what part of that work is going to be? Patience. Jackson? Because what do young guys struggle with?
Patience.
I want to...
Honest man.
So let it be done. Wow. Oh, did they get this on tape? Oh boy. It's like, do you edit stuff?
It's too loud. I usually adjust the levels.
No, I'm talking about remove words. Poor Nathan. Nathan's rolling his eyes. He's going, yeah, brother. Yeah, you think about it. Beep, beep. This guy's a man of integrity. Beep, beep. I'm a process people. It's like, oh boy. He said beep. It's like, okay, all right, man. I'm trying to function here, man. But you guys understand, though, that, look, man, self-control is part of the fruit of the Spirit, by the way. It's all in there, man. But I know this, is that part, you know, for me, I got to trust God. I got to trust Him and obey Him. And then as a process of doing that, what's happening is He's establishing me. He's establishing me who I really am. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the things I used to struggle with terribly, and I still struggle with it at times, is anger. I used to struggle with it really, really heavy. I was angry all the time. I had a person one time tell me, "You're the angry preacher."
Ooh.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think that's a compliment. Let me think about that one for a little while. But I don't think it's a compliment. And then my wife will tell me, it's like, man, you always have these veins popping up in the forehead. It's like, what's up with that, man? It's like, Jesus loves you. I didn't say I did. He did. I struggled with it. And one of the things the Lord showed me was, one of the reasons why I struggled with anger was I was trying to be somebody that I wasn't. You guys understand that? I was trying to be like Kirk, like Rayo, like Bill, like Phil. Anybody I esteemed, I want to try to be like them. When Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ, I believe this. This is my own personal interpretation of that. As he imitated the character of Christ, imitate the character of Christ that he's displaying before you. You don't have to be like Paul in actions, in character, because God has created you uniquely who you are. You guys understand that?
Yeah.
So I don't want to make disciples of me. I want to make disciples of Christ. So I have become, as time has gone by, more comfortable with who I am in Christ. And guess what has transpired? I'm more at peace with who I am. Thus, I don't get angry as much. See, the Bible says, anger and sin not. I tried everything the Bible told me to do, except for go to Jesus. You guys understand that? I'm doing it in my own strength. That's what young guys do. We can do this. Then as the body deteriorates, you go, well, not so much. See? I'm becoming reliant upon Him. Where I'm weak, He is strong.
Amen.
That's good. I said, Lord, help me. And in this idea, when I'm focusing on Him, I forget about the issue of anger, and then the Lord starts dealing with me with it. And then to the point where now, recently, my wife told me, last Sunday, as a matter of fact, she walks in there. Again, there's balance, and don't get me wrong, but she walks in the office, and she goes like this. And I was sitting there, there's some stuff that was going down. She goes, I can't take it. My wife has told me more than once that particular term. I can't take it. I don't know why. I think it's hilarious to live with me. You guys aren't even getting that, but nonetheless, though, she used to hear that all the time, and every time she heard it, I would go, oh, I'm going to get it when we get in the car. Yeah, ha ha. That's what she's like, ha ha. I love living with you. They have no idea. She's sitting down, she goes like this. She goes, I can't take it. I'm going, what's going on? She goes, you're so stinking laid back about everything anymore. I'm going, I just want to go to heaven. I just want to go to heaven. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man. It's like, look here, man. It's like, but that's what the Lord has done to me. So anything that, like, when Kirk says these things about, you know, me and stuff like that, or anything said, anything that's good that is said about me, it is not me. It's Christ in me.
All right. That's good.
It's who God is working in my life. The junk that you see in my life, that's the stuff that He's going to work out of me. So with that being said, is that these are the three things. We're just going over really quickly. Who are we? Who are we? Well, here we go. We're going to start all over again. All right. It's been so long, you forgot where I began. All right. Zach, what are we? What are we as men? What are we?
Royal priests.
Rulers.
Kings.
There you go. There you go. As a man thinks, if I start thinking that way, I'm going to start feeling that way, and then my actions are going to start to reflect that. You guys understand that? It's like some of the struggles that you're going through in your life, you're going to start becoming victorious in those areas, and then you're going to start moving into becoming not only victorious, but overcomers. Because I'm thinking of myself differently. I'm not a victim, I'm a victor in Christ. Where is He taking you?
The image of Christ.
Into the image of Christ, which means suffering. No pain,
no gain.
No gain. Now go buy that sweatshirt. What's the third thing? What's that third thing? What's our purpose?
Glorify God and enjoy it.
What did Caleb say?
I have my no pain, no gain shirt.
He had no idea what he put that baby on. He thought it was a catchy saying. It's like, no pain, no gain. Yeah, all right, brother. Hey, didn't Jesus say this? Didn't He say this? He said, count the cost.
He did say that.
You should have thought about that before you put that shirt on. It's cool, Lord. He goes, whoa. The Holy Spirit said, whoa, Caleb. Count the cost. Count the cost. Well, it's only $7.99. That's not what He's saying. That's a heavy shirt to put on, baby. What's your purpose?
Glorify God.
That's exactly right. Magnify Him. Let people see Christ in you so that they can learn who He really is.
It's good.
See that? Preach at all times, and when necessary, use words. How about that? Let your actions speak louder than your words. Let our actions line up with our words. How about that?
That's good.
How about that? Let's not be a contradiction in our life. Say, look here now. What you see is what you get. And what you see is Jesus Christ in me.
Yeah.
And that He would draw, where He's lifted up, He would draw all men unto Himself. Yeah. Right? So if people are attracted to you, it ain't you. It's Christ in you. How about that?
Yeah.
Bright lights attract strange bugs. All right. I leave you with that thought. Okay. All right, man. Very good. Thank you, my brother.
Awesome. Strange bugs.
Well, hey, that's a life changer, huh?
I'm telling you, you're fun to listen to.